chapter 48. Heading, Krishna pleases his devotees. Next paragraph. For days together, Krishna heard from Uddhava the situation in Vrindavan, the condition of his father and mother, of the gopis, of the cowherd's boys, all in detail. And when he was fully satisfied that Uddhava was able to solace them by his instruction and the message delivered to them, Lord Krishna decided to go to the house of Kubja, the hunchback woman who pleased Krishna by delivering the sandalwood pulp when Krishna was entering in the city of Mathura, described previously. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna always tries to please his devotees as much as the devotees and try to please Krishna. As the devotees always think of Krishna within their heart, similarly, Krishna also thinks of his devotee within himself. The society girl, Kubja, when she was immediately converted into a beautiful girl, she desired that Krishna would come to his place, to her place, and she would try to receive and worship Krishna to in her own way. The society girls generally try to satisfy their clients by offering their bodies to be enjoyed by the men. But this society girl, Kubja, was actually captivated by lust that she would satisfy her senses by Krishna. When Krishna desired to go to the house of Kubja, certainly he had no desire for sense gratification. By supplying the sandalwood pulp to Krishna, Kubja had already satisfied the senses of Krishna. So Krishna also, on the plea of her sense gratification, wanted to go to her house, not actually for sense gratification, but to turn her into a pure devotee. Krishna is always served by many thousands of goddess of persons. Therefore, he had no business to satisfy his senses by going to a society girl. But as he is kind to everyone, he desired to go there. It is said that the moon sign is never denied for shining the courtier of a so-great person. Similarly, Krishna's transcendental mercy is never denied to anyone if somebody has rendered service unto him, either in the process of lust, anger, fearfulness, or by pure love. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if anyone wants to serve Krishna, at the same time tries to satisfy his own lusty desires, in that case, Krishna handles the matter in such a way that the devotee forgets his lusty desire and becomes a fully purified devotee, constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. So, in order to fulfill his past promise, Uddhava went to the house of Kubja along with Uddhava. Coincidentally, when the society girl Kubja was very much anxious to get Krishna for satisfaction of our lusty desire. When Krishna reached the house of Kubja, he saw that her house was completely decorated in a fashion which excites lusty desires of a man. It suggests that there were many naked pictures also, on the top of which there were canopies and flags embroidered with pearls and pearl necklaces, along with comfortable bedstead and cushioned chairs. The rooms were provided with nicely scented incense, sprinkled over by scented water, and illuminated by nice lamps, flower garlands, and similar other things. When Kubja saw that Lord Krishna has come to her house in order to fulfill his promised visit, she immediately got up from the chair to receive him cordially, and accompanied by her many girlfriends, began to talk with him with grace, respect, and honor. In this way, after offering him a nice place for sitting, she worshipped Lord Krishna just suitable to her position. Along with Krishna, Uddhava was similarly received by Kubeja and her girlfriends, but Uddhava did not take place on the equal level. He tried to sit down on the ground. Lord Sri Krishna also, without wasting any more time, as it is generally practiced, entered the bedroom of Kubja. In the meantime, Kubja also took her bath and smeared over the body with the pulp of sandalwood, and dressed herself with nice garments, with decorated with valuable jewelry, ornaments, flower garlands, covered by nice scents, chewing betel nuts and other intoxicating eatables, and in this way she decorated her body very nicely and appeared before Krishna with feminine blissfulness, smiling, glance, movement of the eyebrows, and thus very gracefully appeared before Lord Krishna, who is generally known as Madhava, the husband of Goddess of Fortune. And Krishna saw that Kubja was hesitating to come before her. He immediately caught hold of her hand, decorated with bangles, and with great affection dragged her beside him and made her sat by his side. The society guard, simply by supplying pulp of sandalwood previously to the Supreme Lord Krishna, became free from all sinful reaction of her life, thus became eligible to enjoy with Krishna. Generally, the woman feels lusty from the breast. Therefore, she immediately took Krishna's lotus feet and placed on her breast, which was practically burning with the blazing fire of lust. Kubja, placing the lotus feet of Krishna on her breast, began to smell with her nose, and thus immediately became relieved from all lusty desires. She was allowed to embrace Krishna with her two arms, and thus mitigate her long desire for Krishna as a visitor in her house. Next paragraph. In this way, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, that nobody can be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord without being freed from all material sinful reaction. Therefore, Kubja, simply by supplying sandalwood pulp to Krishna, was already freed from all sinful actions and thus became eligible to enjoy with her in this way. She was not trained up to worship Krishna in any other way. Therefore, she wanted to satisfy Krishna in her own professional way. As it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be worshipped even by one's professional way if it is sincerely offered for the pleasure of the Lord. Kunja began to address Krishna and said, my dear friend, kindly just remain with me at least for a few days. Enjoy with me like this. My dear lotus-eyed friend, I cannot leave you immediately. Please grant my request. As stated in the Vedic versions, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has multi-potencies, this Kubja is, according to expert opinion, representing the Bhushakti potency of Krishna, as Srimati Radharani is representing the Chit-Shakti potency of Krishna. Similarly, Kubja is also representing another similar potency of Krishna. Although Kubja requested Krishna to remain with her for some days, Krishna politely impressed upon her that it was not possible for him to stay with her. As much as Krishna visits this material world occasionally, whereas his connection in the spiritual world is eternal, either in the Vaikuntha planet or in the Goloka Vrindavan planet, Krishna is always present. The technical term of his presence in the spiritual world is called Prakat Leela. In this way, after satisfying Kubja by sweet words, Krishna returned to his place along with Uddhava. In this connection, there is a warning in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is not very easily worshipable because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the chief amongst the Vishnu Tattvas. Therefore, to worship Krishna or to have association with him is not very easy job. It is specifically warning, therefore, for devotees who are attracted with Krishna by conjugal love, that it is not good for them to desire to have sense gratification directly by association with Krishna. Actually, the sense gratification activities are material activities. In the spiritual world, although there are symptoms like kissing, embracing, but there is no sense gratificatory processes as they exist in the material world. It is a warning specifically for those who are known as Sahajya, who take it for granted Krishna as ordinary human being and wants to enjoy sex life with him in a perverted way. Sense gratification in the spiritual relationship is most insignificant. Anyone who desires like that must be considered as less intelligent and requires to be reformed in that mentality. Similarly, after some time, as he promised Akrura also to visit his house, he desired to go there, accompanied by both Lord Balaram and Uddhava. As Akrura was in relationship with Krishna of servitorship, Krishna wanted to take some service from him in this connection. When Krishna, Balaram and Uddhava was approaching the house of Akrura, he immediately came forward, embraced Uddhava, and offered their respectful obeisances, bowing down before Lord Krishna and Balaram. Krishna, Balaram, and Uddhava also in turn offered him obeisances, and they were offered very nice sitting place by Akrura. When all of them were comfortably seated, Akrura immediately washed their feet and sprinkled the water on his head. Then he offered nice clothing, flowers, sandalwood pearl to worship them regularly, and all three of them became very much satisfied with the behavior of Akrura. After this, Akrura bowed down before Krishna, putting his head on the ground, and then keeping his lotus feet on his lap, began to press them mildly in the way of massaging. When Akrura was fully satisfied in the presence of Krishna Balaram, his eyes became filled with water for love of Krishna and began to offer his prayers as follows. My dear Lord Krishna, it is very kind of you that you have killed Kamsa along with his associates, and thereby you have delivered the whole family of the Jodha dynasty from the greatest calamity. Your saving of the Jodha dynasty in this way will always be remembered by them. My dear Lord Krishna and Balaram, you are the original personality from whom everything has emanated. You are the original cause of all causes. By your inconceivable energy, you are all-pervasive and present everywhere. Except yourself, there is no other cause and effect, both gross and subtle. You are the supreme Brahman, realized by the study of the Vedas. Now you are also, by your inconceivable energy, actually visible before us. You create this cosmic manifestation by your own potencies and by entering into it yourself. As the five material elements, namely earth, water, fire, air, sky, is distributed in everything, manifested by different size and bodies, generally you alone only enter into such different varieties of bodies created by your own energy as your part and parcel and living entities, as well as independently yourself as the super soul. Thus it appears they are all differently situated. In other words, all the different forms of living entities, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvajunisu. The material body is created by the inferior energy of Krishna, and the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and the super soul is localized representation of Krishna. Now, this material body, the living entity and the super soul combined together constitute an individual living being, but originally they are all different energies only of the Supreme Lord. In the material world, you are creating and maintaining and dissolving the whole manifestation by interaction of three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance, you are not implicated by the activities of those material qualities and work. The reason is that your supreme knowledge is never overcome by such activities as it is in the case of individual living entity. The idea is that as the Supreme Lord enters into this material creation, and thus the creation, maintenance, and annihilation go on in their due course, similarly, he is part and parcel, the living entity enters also in this material elements, and a material body is created for him. But the difference is that the living entity, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, has the tendency of being overcome by the introduction of material qualities, whereas Krishna, the Parabrahma, or the Supreme Brahma, being situated always in full knowledge, is never overcome by such activities. Therefore, Krishna's name is Achyuta. Achyuta means who never falls down. Krishna's knowledge of spiritual identity is never overcome by material action, whereas the minute part and parcel living entity's identity is proved to be overcome by material action. The individual living entities are eternally part and parcel, minute spark of the original fire, Krishna. Therefore, as the spark has tendency of being extinguished, but the original fire hasn't gone, similarly, the living entities are overcome by material activities, whereas Krishna never becomes so. Less intelligent class of man who adduces that your transcendental form is also made of material energy and designation is not at all applicable. Nothing is directly different from you. As such, there is no difference from you and your body. And because there is no difference between you and your body, there is no question of your being conditioned or your being liberated. You are ever liberated in any condition of life, and as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, only the fools and rascals consider you like ordinary man. So, to consider your lordship as one of us, conditioned by the material nature, is due to our imperfect knowledge. When people deviate from this original knowledge of Vedas, try to identify ordinary living entities with your lordship, at that time, your lordship appear on this earth in your original form in order to re-establish the real knowledge that living entities and the Supreme God are neither one or equal to him. My dear Lord, you are always situated in uncontaminated goodness, within bracket, Shuddha Sattva. Your appearance is only necessary to re-establish factual Vedic knowledge against the atheistic philosophy which tries to establish the God and living entities are one and the same. My dear Lord Krishna, this time you have appeared in the home of Vasudeva as his son, along with your plenary expansion, Sri Baladeva. And your mission is to kill all the atheistic royal family along with their huge military strength. You have adventured yourself to minimize the overburden of the world, and in order to fulfill this mission, you have glorified the dynasty of Jodhu, appearing in the family as one of the members.
Next paragraph.
My dear Lord, today my home has become purified on account of your presence. I have become the most fortunate person in the world because in my home the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipable by all different grades of demigods, Pitris, living entities, kings, emperors, and who is the supreme soul of everything, and the vast water of whose lotus feet is purifying the three worlds, have now so kindly come at my place. Who is there in the three worlds amongst the factual learned men that will not take shelter of your lotus feet and surrender unto you? Who is such a foolish person that will deny to become your devotee, knowing it well that nobody can be affectionate like you to his devotee? In the Vedic literature, you have declared everywhere that you are the most dearest friend of every living entity. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Sridha Sarvabhutana. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, completely capable of fulfilling the desires of your devotees, real friend of everyone, and in spite of your giving yourself to your devotees, you are never deviated from your original prowess. Therefore, your potency has neither any decrease or increase in volume. My dear Lord, it is very difficult even for the great mystic yogis or for the demigods to ascertain your movements. You cannot be approached even by them. And still, out of your causeless mercy, you have kindly concentrated, come at my place. Therefore, this is the most auspicious moment in the journey of my material existence. By your grace only, I can just understand that my home, my wife, my children, my worldly possession, all of them are different bondages of my material existence. Please, therefore, you cut the knot and save me from this entanglement of false society, friendship and love. Next paragraph. Lord Sri Krishna was very much pleased by the offering of prayers by your Kruro, and while he was smiling and captivating Okruro more and more, he began to reply his submissive devotional statement. The Lord replied as follows in very sweet words. My dear Okruro, in spite of your all submissiveness, I consider you as my superior on the level of my father and teachers and most well-wishing friend. You are therefore worshipable by me, and as your child, I am always to be protected by you. I deserve to be maintained by you because I belong to the group of your own children. Apart from this filial relationship, an exalted devoted life, you are always to be worshipped by everyone. Anyone who deserves his auspiciousy must offer his respectful obeisances unto personalities like you. You are more than the demigods. People go to worship to the demigods when they are in need of some sense gratification. In other words, the demigods offer some benediction to the devotees after being worshipped by them. But a devotee like Okruro is always ready to offer the greatest benediction to the people. In other words, an essentially personal devotee is free to offer benediction to everyone, whereas the demigods they can offer benediction after being worshipped. One can take advantage of the place of pilgrimage and the demigods after going there or by worshipping them respectively. It takes lots of time for fulfillment of the desire. But a saintly person like you, my dear Akura, can immediately fulfill all desires of the devotee. My dear Akura, you are always our friend and well-wisher. You are always ready to act for our welfare. Kindly, therefore, go to Hastinapur just to see what arrangement has been made for the Pandavas. In other words, Krishna is very much anxious to know about the sons of Pandu, because they had lost their father in very minor ages. Krishna, being specifically very much friendly to his devotees, was anxious to know about them, and therefore he deputed Akura to go to Hastinapur and take information about the real situation. Krishna continued to say that, "I am hearing that after the death of King Pandu, his minor sons like Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakul, Sahadev, along with their widow mother, has been taken charge by Dhritarashtra to look after them as their guardian. But I have heard also that Dhritarashtra is not only blind by birth, but he is also blind in affection for his cruel son, Duryodhana. Although the five Pandavas are the sons of King Pandu, still, on account of Dhritarashtra designing plans, he is not very much favorably disposed towards the Pandavas. If you kindly go there and study the situation, how Dhritarashtra is dealing with the Pandavas, and on receipt of your report, I shall think over the matter how to do good to the Pandavas." In this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, ordered Akura to go to Hastinapur and thus return home accompanied by Balarama and Uddhava. Next verse. Thus ends the 48th chapter, Krishna, in the matter of Krishna pleases his devotees.